7.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, my name is Barbara, and it's my privilege to welcome you to the program and to welcome the Lieutenant Governor of Idaho, Janice McGeehan. And importantly, Janice is a candidate for our governor here in Idaho, seeking that nomination in 2022. And Janice, welcome to the program. We've got you in an airport in Arizona.
Hi, Barbara. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you.
Hope you can hear me all right.
It's beautiful sound. It's very good. Thank you.
Good, good. Well, thanks for inviting me on to your show today. As it turns out, it's so strange. It's kind of turning out like deja vu. They've already postponed our airplane again, so which means we're going to miss our next flight again. So we'll have as much time as you want today.
I love it. Well, Cornell Razor is here in the studio with us as a backup, and I appreciate that so much. So he's going to be a part of our conversation, too. A quick comment about these airline delays is that it used to be we always thought of weather, but now it's a whole different story with employees and gasoline and canceled flights. It's difficult to fly, isn't it?
It is. It's getting to be more challenging. Fortunately for us, I was down here for a wedding, a family wedding on the weekend. I'm here with my sister, and we have some family. So it was just we were able to spend a little more time with our family last night than we were planning on it. So that's fine. But I am missing a couple of events back home in Idaho, and we're both anxious to get back home.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're anxious to have you home. Thankful that we have you on the radio today. Let's get to it. I know our listeners at the top of their list is, why is it that you want to be our next governor? What is it that is drawing you to this whole campaign?
Yeah, thanks for that question, Barbara. When I ran for lieutenant governor a few years back, I ran because I started to see some things happening in Idaho where the special interests and the swamp literally was taking more and more control over decisions that were being made on the state level for families and how it affected our schools and our Medicaid programs and all that. And it was concerning to me. It was kind of along the same messaging that the 45th president, Donald Trump, had when he ran for president, that the system in D.C. has gotten to be so disconnected from the average, everyday Idahoan and American. And so that's really the reason why I decided to get back involved in the political process 3 years ago when I ran for lieutenant governor. And what we've seen in the last 2 years, the decisions that our current governor has made related to the management of the virus and beyond that, just even things like how we are, things that are happening in our schools, it's just, I can't sit back anymore, you know, watching these special interests and their power and their greed and corruption continue to grow in our state. And they're the ones that are shaping policy right now. That's a big difference between myself and our current governor, Barbara, is that I'm not beholden to the special interests and the cronyism that's happening in our state. And that's why I want to get involved and be able to do more than I have been able to do in my capacity as the lieutenant governor to try to help turn the tide and right the ship, as you would say. We need to right our ship. We need to have a different team of leadership in Idaho with what we see coming down at us from the federal government, this continued encroachment on our freedoms, our liberties, and the loss of the sovereignty of our state, and we're losing our traditional conservative values that people in Idaho hold so true. So those are the reasons why I decided to get involved and run for this position.
Excellent. Well, that gives us a lot to talk about. I'm going to pick up on your last comment where you talked about how the federal government consistently and over years and years and really decades has infringed on states' rights or what should really be states' rights. You know, the governor, in my opinion, you know, other politicians also, but the governor to me is the frontline watchman to guard against infringement of our rights. Can you give us a couple of examples where you see that happening and where you believe you can effectively, with the legislators, push back against this current administration or the next one if they continue?
Absolutely. And the battle is going to take place within the states. And as a reminder, it's the states that created the central government, not the other way around. So now it's time for the states to reclaim the authority that we have that is given to us by our U.S. Constitution and push back against the federal government, which we see continual encroachments and infringements on our rights. You know, with the Biden administration, the vaccination mandates, with federal contractors, federal employees, and then the OSHA rule. But this is even happening within our own state. So, you know, the Biden administration is not the only problem that we have to deal with. This started in the Treasure Valley with three hospitals that said that they gave all of the employees a deadline that said, if you don't get the jab by this date, then you're going to be fired. And our own Department of Health and Welfare collects data on information, injuries, and deaths that are even related to the vaccinations or the jab, because it's not even doesn't even meet our definition for vaccination in Idaho. The hospitals start doing that. So this happened before the Biden mandate even came out, and then it kind of started to grow. Now we're seeing it everywhere in small businesses and within even in our universities and our schools. I mean, that's just one example. The other things that we continue to see, violation of our freedoms and our rights, our liberties, is in our school system. The Biden administration now wants to dictate and mandate what we teach to our kids, and education should be a very local thing where it's up to the school districts and the parents to have more authority and autonomy in how we teach our kids. But they're trying to push these teachings onto it's in our university system, but it's growing in our K-12 system as well. The Biden administration is going to be giving a preference for funding for schools that teach the 1619 project. This is what happened with Common Core, which was adopted in Idaho under Republican leadership, and we've been fighting back against that ever since then. But it goes even so much deeper in so many other areas in our Medicaid program. We want to try to do something good with our nutritional programs in Idaho. We can't do it because the federal government says, no, you can't do it this way or that way, or you can't manage your Medicaid population. And we can't utilize our natural resources that we've in Idaho. We are blessed with an abundance of natural resources, and we're being hamstrung to be able to utilize our resources. So we need to push back. We need to be much more assertive than we are with our sovereignty and just say, you know what, federal government, no thanks. We're not taking this money anymore. We're going to just start doing it the Idaho way and do what works for the people of Idaho, not what works for the special interest or the Washington, D.C. diktat.
You know, Janice, I think that what you're saying right now resonates with both Republicans and Democrats. I think there's just a general feeling that the federal government, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, unless you're just far, far, far left progressive, they feel that the federal government has and is overstepping. Maybe maybe they didn't see it with Common Core. Maybe they didn't see it with the right to life pushback that they tried to get through the courts and their federal legislation. But I think people are seeing it now. And I want a couple of things that you triggered in my thought. One is in the right to life or abortion laws. Most people think that the federal law is what prevails, but we as a state, even though abortion is legal nationwide, we as a state can restrict that, can't we? We have the ability, and we do restrict it somewhat. We could restrict it more in Idaho. That's correct, isn't it?
Absolutely, and that's what has enabled us, those of us who are fighting for to protect life, and I am one of those. I have 100% pro-life, and I believe that life begins at the moment of conception. And so during my 10 years of service in the legislature, I helped to enact several pieces of legislation to do just exactly what you say. And that has been in the case, the Pennsylvania law said that states may pass reasonable regulation on abortion within their state. So we absolutely have the ability to do what we see is the right thing for our state, for Idaho. And the bigger question about, you know, Barbara, now we see the Supreme Court is reconsidering the very law itself. And they need to, because, you know, back then, decades back, that law was all based on the viability and when they thought that a child could survive outside the womb of the mother. And technology has changed so much ever since then. Now we have the technology. We need to reconsider those timelines and those parameters that some medical organization has determined, you know, when a child can survive outside the womb.
You know, even though I understand the Supreme Court ruling and what they write on it, they have finished testimony, but we may not see the ruling for another 5 or 6 months. It may be next late spring, summer. But no matter what they rule, whether they uphold the federal law or they shock the world by going against Roe v. Wade, just what you're saying, our state can take and has taken certain stands to restrict, whether it's by the number of weeks after which no abortion is allowed or the heartbeat rule, which is, I'm not sure what the status of that is. I know that it got signed, but I think it's awaiting a federal judge. Is that correct? Cornell, do you know? I'm not clear on that.
I'm not clear on that either. So.
Okay. Maybe Janice, do you know that heartbeat? I know in Texas they've been dealing with it also, that once there's a discernible heartbeat, no abortion. It's very restrictive.
It's a very complex area of creating law, Barbara. And
yes.
One thing I will say, I've had experience dealing with that, and what I will say within the pro-life community is that we need to quit fighting each other, because there are some that will, you know, advocate for something, and then there are those that say, well, that's just not strong enough, that's not good enough, and they'll actually come after you. That happened to me when I was working on the Woman's Right to Know law, where we put together a trio of booklets that are, you know, solid information to give to women to help them be able to make the right decisions for themselves. And we were viciously attacked by others within the pro-life community. I'm one that, as I said, I believe that life begins at the moment of conception. And that's the one thing that the purpose of the government would be to protect life. And because that's one of our inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so it is completely a proper role of government to protect the life of the unborn child. And I think that because as a nation, we have turned our back on that. And when I say we, I'm not talking about those who are pro-life, but in, you know, as a general statement, as a society, we have turned our back on that. And I think that we need to turn our hearts back to God and honor the creation of life as it is created by him. We are all created in his image, and we must do everything that we can to protect that life.
You know, Janice, I am so glad that you clarified that in the way that you did. I'm in such agreement with that, and I know many, many people are, because we can disagree. We can get in the weeds on some details and really start fighting against each other. But to protect life, you know, is what it's all about, and that's where we all need to be heading.
Yes.
You said something else very interesting in relation to the federal government infringing, and that was in the area of education. I know there's been a movement about saying we can't take federal dollars or we shouldn't take federal dollars because there are strings attached. And though we use the money, we could enjoy the money, not that it's free money, but there are strings. Do you have an opinion on that? That's kind of an issue that's been going around.
Well, there are strings attached, and the money that comes to the states from the federal government, people can argue, you know, well, that's money that we pay in our federal taxes, so why shouldn't we also take that money? Well, that's a good discussion to be had, and that's okay. To take some of the money from the feds that we pay in, but as long as it doesn't interfere in any way with our Idaho Constitution and our Idaho statutes, it's when it interferes with those that it becomes a problem. And just in the example of with education funding, we're seeing some of the things that are coming down for, you know. Well, Barbara, I formed this task force. We studied the issue of the teachings in our university systems and in our schools that some people consider controversial, that are not really according to our Constitution, because our Constitution says that there is no discrimination at all. You cannot discriminate against a person based on their sex or their race or anything. But when we see those things being taught in our schools, that's when it becomes a problem. And so we should not be it's in those cases where we should not just grab that money just because there's money being tossed around. And that's the thing that we, in my committee, that was one of the statements that we made, was that we asked the State Board of Education and the lawmakers to reconsider any federal program spending that was in contradiction or violation of our Idaho Constitution.
You know,
so it's not just taking the money. It's just making sure that money with the strings doesn't violate our statutes and our Idaho Constitution.
You know, education, and you said it early on in your comments, is such a huge area. There are so many issues in education that we need to deal with. I'm going to be interviewing our local Lake Pend'Oreille School District Superintendent Tom Albertson here in a couple of weeks. And one of the areas I want to focus in on is test metrics. If you you may or may not know that one of our incumbent board members was unseated in this last election, and there's a variety of reasons for that. Mask mandates, vaccine mandates, parents feeling that they don't know what's going on with the curriculum, they can't get in the schoolroom even for reasonable observation times. There was a whole bunch of stuff rolling around, but we have a new board member. He's very concerned. Conservative and hopefully for many people, they believe it will bode well. But what about test metrics? Or let me ask it another way. What are the top educational issues or one issue that you really want to tackle as governor?
Well, we do need to refocus our attention back to the basics of the reading, writing, and arithmetic, and that a couple of weeks ago, as the lieutenant governor, I hosted an event in Garden City, Idaho, which is close to Boise, where we were, as elected officials, signing our pledge to going back some of those basic principles under the 1776 commission report that President Trump put out. And that's what it is. It's about, all about going back to some of the basics, making sure that we're teaching accurate and true history and the right thing about government teachings. We had 51 elected officials, including school board trustees, city council members, county commissioners, state lawmakers, and a few statewide candidates. And so that's what it's all about, is just going back to the basics instead of teaching. They're just teaching a lot of things. They're wanting to teach a lot of things that just don't necessarily help our kids to prepare them for their futures outside of high school. And so we need to focus on that. We focus on math, science, engineering, technology. I'm a big proponent of career and technical education. So, you know, focusing on what we can do, teaching our kids some of the skills, even before they get out of high school, there's some of the jobs that are in the trade areas that are paying, you know, six-digit salaries right out of high school.
Janice,
we need to be. Yeah,
I was just going to say, we've got more questions, even in education, coming your way. Take a breath. We're going to go to commercial breaks right now, and we'll be back. We'll be back with you in a few minutes.
Okay.
Merry Christmas from Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. Christmas silver is in stock now, plus they have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, and a new line of ReadyWise foods. There's also great gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else in our area. Open weekdays and Saturdays through Christmas, located on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Hello, this is Scott.
And Ty of Albertson Barlow Insurance Services.
We have 42 years of combined experience and are very proud to provide the Sandpoint area with quality, competitive companies and exceptional service.
For all your insurance needs, whether it's life, health, home, auto, or commercial coverage, Scott and I are available to assist you in determining what coverage meets you and your family's needs.
We are located in the old Powerhouse Building, Suite 203, so come on down and see us or check us out on the web, Albertson Barlow Insurance.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
The employees of Selkirk Press in Sandpoint wish you and yours the warmest and most wonderful holiday season. A family-owned and operated business in Sandpoint since 1924, Selkirk Press would like to thank you for over 90 years of patronage and community support. They look forward to providing you with full-service printing, design, and EDDM mailing services well into the future. Selkirk Press at 1714 Industrial Drive, right off of Foyer by the airport. Merry Christmas to you from everyone at Selkirk Press.
At Super One Foods in Sandpoint, they say, save time, shop online. Pick up your items or have them delivered to your home. It's so easy. Just go to superonefoods.net and select your items and the time to pick up your groceries at the store in one of the reserved parking spaces, or have them delivered to you. It's that simple. And Super One is now hiring, with some positions starting at $14 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net.
At the Co-op, we get the farming, ranching, gardening, off-grid, do-it-yourself, and escape-to-the-woods lifestyles. We understand farm animals, pets, honeybees, and wildlife. In our aisles, you will find housewares, clothing, animal health, hand and power tools, yard and garden supplies, plumbing and electrical products, and more. We can help you plant a garden. We can show you how to put in a fence, run a water line, establish a pasture, and catch the rain in barrels. we can show you what you will need to fasten a dealy bob to a whatchamadinget and hang up a doohickey. Our hardware selection is impressive. And when it gets cold outside, we can help you stay warm with wood stoves, energy logs and pellets, and propane options. So when it comes to propane, farm, home, and hardware, think Co-op Gas and Supply Company. We get this rural life like no one else. Come see us. The Co-op, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey everybody, welcome in. It is my joy today to get to know and really dig in a little bit with Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan, and she is a candidate for governor in the state of Idaho. She'll be on those primary ballots coming out in 2022, and she's seeking the nomination to be the candidate in the fall. You know, I'm going to keep it with education because honestly, I think education, as you have already identified, Janice, is so important for, you know, parents need to be involved. It's the future of our kids. And I had a homeschooling program a couple of weeks ago, and it did not disparage public education in any way, but it was just a positive look at homeschooling and how much it has expanded. And we have private schools and we have faith-based schools. Is there any area in that area of homeschooling or private education as governor that you would seek to expand or support in a way that may not have been supported recently?
Yes, absolutely. And thanks for that question. Two of the recommendations that came out of my education task force were to support choice in education, specifically to expand not just expand, but to grow education savings accounts for parents and families, that some of the money that we all pay in the form of taxes could accumulate in a savings account that could be used for tuition expense. There was that bill passed through the House this year, earlier in the spring, and it got changed when it came to the Senate, where they actually removed the ability to use that money for tuition. They said you can use it for computers and supplies and all these things, but you can't use it for tuition, and that's a problem. We need to make sure that that money can be used for tuition at different schools. And then another idea that my committee has endorsed is the idea, just like what the state of Arizona has, is an Arizona tax credit. So that families can take up to a certain amount in the form of a tax credit, that if they're going to be spending some of their own dollars in private school, that they can have a credit for that. So you have to ask the question, why are these things already not a part of our portfolio here in Idaho? Why, when we have what the so-called conservative red state with, you know, most people serving in elected capacity having an R behind their name, why do we not have these things already? And it all points back to what I had said earlier about how the special interests and the cronies have too much power and control within our state. So we need to break through that, give more power and control back to our parents and to the families, and give true choice, even in education. And I support homeschooling. I support choice in education. As a small business person, I believe that competition makes all of us better. And when we have competition within our public schools, we'll be able to put out a better product. And in our higher education, just to give you some ideas, Barbara, of how we could be doing things a little differently, because so many of our kids, you know, go through college 4 years and they come out with high levels of debt with no really usable skills in the workforce. Well, at the University of Idaho, because we have such an abundance of natural resources, including minerals that are not being utilized and retracted from our state, from our land, why don't we restart the School of Mines up at the University of Idaho, which was basically shut down back in 2001. So at the University of Idaho, we could jumpstart that program, School of Mines. At Boise State University, we could put more of an emphasis on helping to graduate more people in the healthcare arena, because we have, especially having such a large rural community in Idaho, people have a lack of access to healthcare in our rural communities. And we need to be putting out more nurses, more doctors, more physicians assistants. We can be doing so much more in that area. And at the University, or Idaho State University there, and at U of I, putting out more engineering degrees and specifically people that are specializing in nuclear technology, because that's a big part of where I'm from in Southeast Idaho. We have a national laboratory where we can lead the nation on energy policy, and they're creating small modular reactors out at the laboratory, but we don't have the workforce. So there's just so much opportunity that we can have a greater potential for especially our young people, and what we can do more within our, you know, our high schools, even in our trade schools, our community colleges, helping people to attain a skill that they can have a really good paying job when they come right out of high school. Our state board of education doesn't even recognize these certifications of less than 1 year. And why? Why do they not do that? It would go a long way to increase our numbers on our go-on rates, which are dismal, and they've been that way for more than a decade. But yet they don't want to change the way they've been doing everything. And it's just time to have some new leadership and new direction in our state to give our families and our citizens more opportunities.
You know, Janice, I am hearing something today, not that I didn't expect to hear it, but it is coming through to me so loud and clear, and I think our audience is hearing it too, because you're talking to several thousand people, Boundary County, Bonner County, Republicans, Democrats, people driving around in their car getting ready to shop at Super One or whatever. I think they are hearing something that speaks to both sides of our political coin that we have here, that this resonates with people, no matter who you are, Republican or Democrat, that we do want better education for our kids. We do want to have a focus with our universities and our colleges that take us to the areas that we need workers in the future. And oh my goodness, could we say three times, trades, trades, trades. We need people to be plumbers and electricians and auto mechanics and construction. And of all of that, you use the word choice. That's it, right? Choice in education, choice in how to apply money that we have paid in and put it back into a type of education, whether it's private or public, that we would have choice in all of that. And that's what you're saying in education, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you support Priscilla Giddings for lieutenant governor?
I do. She's not ready to do endorsements. So, like, you know, no public endorsements. I'm trying to respect that, but I have served with her, and she's spot on with where she's at and her principles. And I would love to serve with her as the governor and her our next lieutenant governor. We just need a new team overall, you know, because if anybody would be foolish to think that they can make some of these changes and make the things happen that we need see happen in our state on their own. We need new leadership overall in the state. We need a new governor. We need new lieutenant governor. We need a new attorney general, a new superintendent of education, a new secretary of state. We need new legislative leadership. We're going to need a new team, a strong team that's willing to just think outside of the box. And Barbara, I'm a small business woman, so I get it. I really understand. I mean, my sister that works at the university in Pocatello, ISU, they're experiencing the same challenges that we are in our small businesses, is that everywhere I turn, we have close to 10% unemployment rate in Idaho because we're not training our people up and helping to prepare them for some of these opportunities. And we have a lot of people that are retiring early out of the workforce. And so what are we going to do to start preparing that next generation up for the workforce? And I think that's where we really need to focus a lot of our energy and our effort. It will pay off so much dividends for our state. It'll work to increase the prosperity and the output of Idaho to help take us from being, you know, pretty much near the bottom in the measure of personal income to being up towards the top. And that's what's going to be good for Idaho families, because we'll be able to raise wages when we do that.
Well, speaking of small business and capitalism and making a profit, we're going to do a little business ourselves right here at the radio station. Stay right where you are, Janice, and we will be right back.
Merry Christmas from Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. Christmas silver is in stock now, plus they have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, and a new line of ReadyWise foods. There's also great gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else in our area. Open weekdays and Saturdays through Christmas. Located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Being a teenager is tough. There's the constant pressure to be liked.
Endless worrying about college.
Cyberbullying, high expectations, all the negativity.
There's no question. Being a teenager is tough. And what do Idaho's teens do when they want to block out the noise and clear their head?
We play! Yeah!
Research shows that teenagers who participate in high school sports have lower stress levels, more confidence, and greater self-esteem. And then there's the biggest benefit of all.
High school sports are fun.
Not just fun.
They're a lot of fun.
Encourage your teenagers to participate in a sport or activity when they go to high school. They'll stress less and smile more. And they'll be laying the foundation for a happier, healthier future.
This message presented by the Idaho High School Activities Association and the Idaho Athletic Administrators Association.
The employees of Selkirk Press in Sandpoint wish you and yours the warmest and most wonderful holiday season. A family-owned and operated business in Sandpoint since 1924, Selkirk Press would like to thank you for over 90 years of patronage and community support. They look forward to providing you with full-service printing, design, and EDDM mailing services well into the future. Selkirk Press at 1714 Industrial Drive, right off the foyer by the airport. Merry Christmas to you from everyone at Selkirk Press.
NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, is the largest grassroots organization for mental health in the country. Hi, this is Jessica Rachels. Our Far North branch has been serving Bonner County for over 14 years. Your mental health matters to us, and we are dedicated to improving your quality of life in any way we can. Due to the holidays, we will not have our monthly support meeting, but have some great speakers lined up in 2022. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is John Darling with Flooring Outlet by Carpet One. A few years ago, we recognized our community needed a flooring outlet option to purchase clearance and closeout flooring products. Being locally owned for 75 years, we feel that Flooring Outlet by Carpet One can give our community just what it needs without fighting the box store crowds and promotes buying local. Whether big or small, we've got your flooring project covered. We purchase flooring in large quantities so you don't have to. Because at the Flooring Outlet, you get more and save more. Looking for a whole house of flooring? We either have it in stock or can negotiate the very best price for your project. Because we offer big value at a small price. Save more on products such as waterproof flooring, carpets, sheet vinyl, hardwood, laminate, and ceramic tile. You will find high style for a low price. So come on down to Flooring Outlet by Carpet One, located between Superdrug and Safeway in Sandpoint, where you'll find beautiful floors for less.
The fighting spirit of the Marine Corps is born of battles won. Battles won within, over enemies of fear, enemies of doubt. It's who we are. It's what we do. It's a promise made to you for more than two centuries. A promise of the Marines.
KSPT, KBFI, North Idaho's radio.
Everybody, welcome back in. We have the privilege of talking with Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan. She is running for governor. She can't be the Lieutenant Governor next time around. She's got to vacate that because she's running for governor, and we're excited about that. I think a lot of people are, Democrats and Republicans, Janice. You know, the more we talk, the more ideas I have for us to talk about. One area that I believe is close to your heart and of concern to people in Idaho and across the nation, even though, praise God, we have a wonderful Bonner County supervisor, I guess I'll call him. He's our clerk here, Michael Rosedale. He runs the cleanest ship, I think, maybe in Idaho. He's excellent. But election integrity is something that I think people are concerned about. And we may have it here in Idaho, thank you, but we want to maintain it, don't we? And how, as governor, do you propose to maintain our election integrity?
Well, Barbara, let me just say publicly and publicly thank your county clerk and like so many clerks across our state that are so, you know, such good-hearted and well-intended people. They take their jobs to heart. I've talked to so many of them, and it really bothers them when they see some of these things that are these irregularities that have happened and may continue to happen. Also, want to especially publicly thank Cornell Razor, who's been willing to step forward and cover in case I got called onto the airplane. So a special thank you to Cornell, and he's doing a great job as the Central Committee helping out up there. What we need to do moving forward to make sure to for our citizens to protect that very thing of election integrity, this is something that really struck the heart of thousands, well, I would say millions of people all over the nation when these governors, like even including our governor who came in and changed election law, where we're supposed to be entitled to go in and vote by person at our local precinct. And our governor went in and changed the law that mandated that we could all only vote by mail. And it was that mail-in voting process that created a lot of problems in the 2020 election. We saw so many irregularities and in some cases some outright fraud. And now we're suffering the consequence of that. We need to be able to move forward. We need to learn from the experience that we had last year and let it be a wake-up call to what we need to do in our state to ensure the citizens of Idaho that when they make time to go out and vote locally, that they can feel confident that their vote is sacred and their vote matters. And I have joined on along with many of our state lawmakers calling for a full forensic audit of all 50 states, even Idaho. So this is not meant as a challenge or a criticism of our local county election clerk, but rather we're going to reexamine our election law and find out where our strengths and where our weaknesses are, make sure that we're following that law and that those provisions are dictated by the legislative body, not the executive branch of government, because that's what our Constitution says, that the states are the ones that manage election law. And we need to make sure that none of this special interest money comes back into Idaho, which it did last year. Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook had about $800,000 that was pumped into our elections in Idaho. And they said if you're going to take our money, you have to do things our way. We've prevented that from happening. The legislature passed a law making that illegal now, so we won't have that. And then we need to make sure that the machines that are used are secure, and there's no tampering with that. And then the ballots that we use, the Arizona Senator Wendy Rogers has sent me a ballot. It's a tamper-proof ballot that within the ballot are 20 different security measures that if one of those is missing in the ballot, then when they go to count those ballots, that ballot gets tossed out because it's a fraudulent ballot. And there's a little extra cost. I think it's an extra $2 million in Idaho to buy those ballots. But everywhere I go across the state and I ask the people, you know, we have almost $1 billion surplus in Idaho. And I ask people, would you be willing to spend $2 million extra of your dollars to make sure we have those tamper-proof ballots? And every person in the room raises their hand.
Well, we're taking a vote right here in the studio, and we're all saying, yeah, we'd pay that money for that.
Oh, good.
Sounds good.
It's a small investment to protect all of our rights and secure all of our rights.
You know, I'm going to take just a moment. You know, Cornell has been with us through this, standing by in case you did get called for your flight, and I appreciate it so much along with you, Janice. I have a question for him, and give him a minute or so. Why are you are the region, you're like a regional manager for Janice McGeehan's campaign.
Region chair, yeah.
Region chair. Why are you supporting Janice for governor?
Well, I followed her when she was in the legislature from 2002 to, I believe it was 2010 or 2012. And I always appreciated the fact that she was a solution-oriented person. She didn't just gripe about what was wrong. She had ideas. And she was a committee chair, and she was fair. She was serious, and she was unafraid to tackle the hard questions. She was unafraid to engage with the we've had a leadership issue in this state as long as I've been involved in politics, probably 35 years, and she was unafraid to engage that. And the other thing that I've found as I've gotten a chance to get to know her over the last 4 or 5 years is what you see is what you get. She's delightful to be around. This is going to sound like an acolyte, and I don't mean for it to sound like that. I wouldn't support somebody if I couldn't fully appreciate what they do. And so she's been it's been delightful to see what she's been doing in the legislature and as a governor, as lieutenant governor, and in the campaign.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to support her.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, there is the need to tackle the hard questions. I have interviewed a lot of politicians, and I am here to say that I, especially if they're in the studio with me, when I ask a question, their endeavor is to not really answer me, to not say too much, to not expose themselves because of some future whatever. And I have to say, Janice, talking with you, no matter what I ask, you've just got your answer. You've got, you know, what you want to do. So this has been very, very interesting for me also to get to know you. And I appreciate it. There you are in the airport with babies in the background. And when do you think you're going
to catch the next flight?
Exactly. When do you think you're going to finally get in the air and get home?
Well, it looks like we'll, unless we get a notice that this flight's been canceled too, we'll make it to Phoenix and then we'll just figure out from there whether we fly to Dallas or go to Salt Lake and catch a shuttle bus. We'll do what we need to do to get home. I'm anxious to get back to my hubby. He's recovering from surgery and back to Idaho. It's always good to be back home.
Oh, my goodness. I had you in Phoenix already.
Nope, we're in Tucson.
All right. Well, that's it for today. That's our program. Thank you so much for
being
with us.
Yeah, and I look forward to maybe someday being in studio with you.
I would love.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, God bless. God bless.
Thank you. God bless you. That's it for today. Next week, I get to talk to another governor candidate, Shelby Ronstad, right here at the Speak Up table with all of you. So join in. Until then, this is Barbara saying take care and God bless you.
K246CU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint.